for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Sex and Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, June the 24th, 1979. Summer camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas.
To be glory in this place. Today is really the first day. Last night we had a meeting, wonderful meeting. But the Lord is seeing the sincere hearts that are here. You know, there's nobody here that has to be here. You all came because you wanted to come. Because this is not a church where you belong, that you feel you have to go every Sunday night. You have come here because you have hungry hearts. And that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to hunger after Him. He has so much to give us, and we have not really totally learned how to receive what He wants to give us, have we? But we want to learn. We want to receive that which He has for us this week. And I know from all the prayers and the letters that we've been receiving that everybody in faraway states have all written and said, oh, we wish we could be there. But we know something is going to happen by the Spirit, and they've already ordered the tapes. Many people have already ordered tapes of this service in anticipation. The Lord never lets us down, does He? We have such... Wasn't that good this afternoon? Did you learn a lot? That's what we need to do, is to be teachable and learn. There's not one person in here that God can't teach some more things to. None of us have arrived. None of us even pretend we've arrived. But we're climbing up that hill of Zion. And He says He's going to bring us up there. Now, a lot of people don't want to go up there. They like right where they are, and that's all right.
They want to get off the bus.
Brother Ellenwood has that sermon about getting off the bus, you know, after you receive the Holy Spirit. Just get off and stay there. It's so nice. But some people, when the bus driver says, come on, up higher, we're going to go. Well, a few people, they get on the bus and they go. They want to go on. I'm one of those that want to go on. Do you want to go on? We are then going on, aren't we? He says He's going to bring us up to Zion. And I believe that tonight. Now, a while ago, we were singing about buying bread. Come ye to the waters, you know, and buy bread. Now, all of this is real nice in here, but there has been a lot of work going into this, getting this campground ready. And I was just smiling over there and watching Glenn jumping over the wall. I was thinking, well, if it keeps on raining, he'll have something to do next week. There'll be some more yards to mow and more lawnmowers to fix and more weed eaters to fix. It seems like all this week, last week it rained, and we did everything at the last minute, and they were all out there yesterday mowing and fixing. I don't know if the gospel, the charismatic movement, would have gone as far as it had it not been for tape. Every day I just praise the Lord for cassettes. You know, we have thousands of cassettes and masters around here, but people are always mailing me a cassette they want me to listen to. And I really enjoy that. You know, it's from some meeting in Pittsburgh or some meeting in California, and they say, I think you would like to hear this. And many of them are just really anointed, and they really come right at the right day, you know, right at the right time. And I just appreciate all of you for coming, and I appreciate the letters you've sent us, and I feel that we know you. I know many people by their letters, and I'm getting their faces now put with their letters so we know them. We have people here from many, many states, and last night we introduced all the people from the states that were here. We won't take that time tonight, but we do appreciate your putting the effort to come. It's an effort to come to conventions. It really is. We used to travel with the Full Gospel Businessmen's Convention. One time we did six weeks in a row, and we were in our Winnebago, and when we finally got back to Northridge, California, in our house, I said to Glenn, don't take me out of this house again. I had been churched out. I had been conventioned out. And it is an effort. But when the Spirit of the Lord is truly moving here, you will be rested. Now, tomorrow morning, you're in for a feast. You really are. Tomorrow afternoon, you're in for another feast. And in the prophetic utterance that came forth, did you hear where it said that the people were wanting to purge themselves? You see, if you don't know anything is wrong with you, or you don't think anything is wrong with you, you don't see any need to get purged. But if you ask the Holy Spirit to turn the light upon you, pretty soon he does it. And you might not like exactly what he shows you, but then that's the time to move and ask the Lord to purge you. He is going to deliver his people in these latter days. He is delivering his people. He is setting them free. And there's been many people liberated here today. Many people have been liberated already today. They've come up and told me, I've already been healed. I've already been delivered. And that is the anointing of the Holy Spirit that breaks every yoke. And we just bless all of you tonight. And we appreciate you coming. We really do. We never know, really, who's going to show up or how many people's going to show up. And it's so exciting. The Pipers came in today from Milwaukee. And God has already met a need in a neighbor girl's life that they brought with them. And anything that we ask, we're going to get. Believe that? Ask and ye shall receive. And I'm just believing today, tonight, for many miracles here tonight even. A miracle is not always a healing, you know. It can be a bruise in us that's healed. The Lord, just Holy Spirit just comes down and all of a sudden somebody may say something. Bob may be singing. Somebody say something and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit quickens and he just pulls out a root in there that's bruised or hurt you for a long time. And I just thank the Lord for Jesus tonight. There's really nobody like him, and if it weren't for Jesus, not one of us would be in here tonight. Not one of us would be in here tonight. Who knows where we'd all be? But because of Jesus, because he's still alive, he lives within me, and he lives within you. And I just praise the Lord, and I don't know what. Somebody asked me this morning, they said, I didn't know you were going to have a meeting this morning. I said, well, frankly, I didn't either. We were downtown eating breakfast with the McCrackens from Canada. And when we got back, they told me what a wonderful meeting. I said, well, praise God. It shows this place can run without us here.
Praise the Lord. This evening, I'm going to surprise two or three people before the evening's over. It might be you, so who knows? But me at the moment. But we've been speaking and I've been mentioning. Thanks, Vicki. I'll let you sit down for somebody else that gets up here, wants somebody to help on the piano or organ, or we'll whistle for you. But you don't get too far away, Bob, either one of you. But I was speaking this morning and I mentioned about holiness and tradition. And if the Lord is calling a people out that will separate themselves from the traditions of the elders and desire in their hearts to walk in holiness and righteousness before the Lord. And I mentioned a couple of things, and I'm time the week's over, I may shake a lot of you up, because I may get, but from time to time this week I'm going to mention different things that are abomination unto God. And that we take it as part of tradition and religion. And it's an abomination to the Lord. One of the greatest abominations unto God is a steeple on a church and the cross that's on top of it. Any of you ever looked up to see what that steeple stands for, where it came from, and what it represents? Have you? Every place you find a steeple on a church, you'll find a church that has, unless it's been cleansed and the pastor is aware of it, you'll find a church that has sex problems in it. Either now in the congregation or with the pastor and the choir leader and the choir members, because that's what that steeple represents. And that's where it came from. It came from sex worship. And in the Bible, it's called an oblix. And the children of Israel fell. And you'll find all through the Old Testament where they put them on the hillsides and where they put them under the green trees and they worshiped them. They carved out of wood sex organs of male and female and set them up and worshiped them. And that's where, and it goes clear back to Nimrod and Tamar. And that's why Pompeii fell. Study Pompeii and see what happened, what Pompeii looked like before and what they found since they've uncovered it. And see who the wealthiest men in the city, how they were represented, and how the people of the city knew who the wealthy people of the city were. Make you sick at your stomach. Well, I'm going to throw these things in for you to think about all week long. You don't have to take my word for anything. Get your history books out and read it. Look it up. Find out for yourself. Look in church history. Look it up. You'll find some things in there that we've been taking to be Christian, and we've accepted them because of the traditions of our elders, and they're a curse unto the church and unto the congregation that particular thing that I mentioned stands over. That's a curse that stands over that church. And there'll be a curse on that church as long as that is on there, or unless the pastor of the church and the people of the church realize what it is, and if they do realize what it is, they'll take it off of the church. When we came here, I'll give you a little story. I didn't know why at the time. When we built this building, my father-in-law insisted. Of course, he didn't realize we were going to put the A-frame out in front like we have. And if I'd have told him that we were going to do that, he would have said we'd never get it done, so I didn't tell him. We've got a lot of things to do here we're going to get done that we've been told will never get done, but we're going to get them done. The Lord's going to do them for us. Amen, because he showed us that's going to come to pass. But he insisted that I allow him to buy a steeple to put on this building out here. He says, how's anybody going to know it's a church if you don't put one up? I said, Pop, this is not a church. This is a chapel and a place of worship. This is not a church. And he insisted and insisted many times that I allow him to pay for a steeple on this building. And I wouldn't do it. But the time that I wouldn't allow it, I didn't know that there wasn't anything that I had against it at the time. Since that time, I found out what it represents. And I wouldn't let anybody come in here under any condition and put one in. No way. Because the Lord wants no abominations covering or having anything to do, or his people have anything to do with any abominations unto him. And when we partake of those things, God himself puts a curse on you. Not Satan. God puts a curse on you. And you have to ask God to forgive you and ask him to take the curse off you of it. And then that curse allows Satan to have rights there. That gives Satan right. But we have to repent of it and ask God to remove the curse. And that's true in many, many areas of our lives. There's things in our lives that God has put a curse on. He puts a curse on us so we don't pay our tithe. God puts it on us. And you can't get it off of you unless you ask God to take it off of you and you repent of it. Well, I've said my bit for tonight. Now I'm going to surprise somebody else and have them come up here for a few minutes and testify to us and give us the word of the Lord. And then I have two or three or four more when that one is finished. Brother Long, I believe, is that your name? You come up and give us a witness and a testimony for the Lord and for a few minutes. And the Lord bless you. I was just sitting back there looking up my text because he thought he was going to surprise me, but the Lord knows everything. And so the Holy Spirit already gave me what to tell you. When I first became a Christian, I better give a little bit of my testimony. I was brought up in a Christian home by my mother. I didn't have a Christian father, and that's a big problem in a home. It's very important that you men are good Christian fathers. I'm not talking about taking your kids to church. I mean living your Christian experience. If you don't tithe, if you don't love the Lord, and you think you're keeping it from your kids, you are fooling yourself. That's enough said. I was brought up in a Christian home, and I got away from the Lord when I was 13 or 14 or 15, somewhere in there. Like a lot of kids do. I was looking for fun and kicks and excitement, and I was not brought up in a Pentecostal church. I didn't know that there was anything in the way of power from God, but there is. And I didn't learn that until later. I'm sorry to say that, because those 11 years that I wasted were wasted years. I came back to the Lord when I was 25, about 5 years ago. And I came back to the Lord, and I learned through my mother about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I experienced that. What I want to bring to you today is something that I learned after I got saved, and after I was filled with the Spirit. I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 7. This is something that shocked me. I learned this from a brother that is with us tonight that I love dearly. He trained under Win Willie for about 5 years. Brother Al LeBlanc from Indianapolis. He's seated right under here somewhere. I don't see him. Anyway, Al's here with us tonight. He's the first one that pointed this out to me, and it shocked me. And then when I went through deliverance myself as a Christian, as a spirit-filled Christian, that the Lord was already using in some gifts, I went through deliverance after being a Christian. Not everything evil moves out of you when you get saved. I've heard even pastors say, my body's not an apartment, and the Lord owns all of it. Well, they're partly right, because you are made up of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. And the Lord moves into your spirit, and He owns that. Your soul is your mind, your emotions, and your will. The enemy can operate there. And the body, of course, can be spirits of infirmity. He can operate there. Spirit, soul, and body. You are a trinity. And Jesus owns your spirit. He bought and paid for it, and He owns it. Your soul is your personality, your mind, your emotions, your will. That's your personality. The enemy can operate in that part of you. And, of course, in sickness, he can operate there. I want to show you something in Mark 7, chapter 24, or verse 24 through 30. I want to read this to you. And from there, this is talking about Jesus. From there he arose and went unto the borders of Tyre and Sidon, entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hidden. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, would she have the flu? No. She had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she answered and said unto him, notice her humility here. She answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs eat under the table of the, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter lying upon the bed. People will tell you that healing is the Christian's bread. Healing is the children's bread. Deliverance is the children's bread. Deliverance and healing go hand in hand. You cannot separate them. What's the difference if you're delivered from a spirit of cancer or a spirit of lust? What's the difference? They're both spirits. One operates in your soul area and one operates in your body. That's the only difference. Deliverance is the children's bread. It's only for Christians. An unsaved person can't keep a deliverance if he got it. Getting delivered is easy. Staying delivered is the hard part. Hallelujah. That's what the Lord laid on my heart. Very short. He told me just to take about 10 minutes. But there are no surprises when you work for God. That's a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. Thank you.
I never saw this young man before, and I don't really know his first name or where he ministers, so I want you to tell him.
All right. My name is Steve Long, and I pastor a church in Salem, Missouri. If you've ever gone through St. Louis and headed west, there's a town called Rolla. It's a university town, and this is 30 miles south of Rolla. So we're about 8 hours from here, seven maybe. And so it was a long drive, and we can only be here all day today, and we have to leave tomorrow morning. But the Lord blessed, and I praise him and I thank him for salvation, healing, and deliverance for the Christian. Hallelujah. What a freedom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Now, is all of your crew going to go back with you in the morning?
My wife.
Or just you and your wife? Now, who all's here with? Who all's part of his family? Hold your hands up. There's more than that here, isn't there? I thought the whole bunch came from your church. Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. Brother Ellenwood will be teaching in the morning. He was here in the fall. He taught Thursday evening, and I understand some this morning. Maranatha. And we had a wonderful, wonderful time with him in the fall, teaching on the tabernacle. And I think he's going to pick up some of that a little bit and carry on something about spiritual warfare, I believe. But whatever the Lord gives him to teach on.
How many of you love Jesus tonight? Praise the Lord. Glenn asked me if I would just say a few words about what we were going to talk about this coming week. Yeah. All right. I'm very, very grateful for this liberty because I'm not sure I want to spend the whole time on spiritual warfare. How many of you here have heard the little thing we have on the bus? Let's see your hands. All right, not too many. I wanted to give that tomorrow morning. It's something that most people never forget. And so we're going to talk from the tabernacle just a little bit tomorrow morning. And then I think on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we want to talk on spiritual warfare, taking it from the book of Judges. And we're going to talk to you about the Shofatim. And we want to show you what God is preparing a people to do in these last days. He's got them in training now. Praise the Lord. I just want to say a word about the worship. I believe that God wants us to worship him just abandonedly. And I want to encourage you along that line. Just abandonedly worship him. The golden altar is just before the veil. And during the week, we'll have some things to say about going through the veil because we believe that God is just about ready to bring a population into the Holy of Holies. And I mean just that, a population. He has a population in the outer court. And he has a population in the holy place. And he has a population that he's going to bring into the Holy of Holies. And this is involved in the coming of the Lord. And I'm one of those rare persons that is teaching that Jesus can come at any moment. And I believe this with all of my heart. Jesus can come at any moment. Maybe I should ask the question I asked this morning. Would that be all right? Since a lot of you weren't here. How many of you, when you woke up this morning, looked up to the Lord and said, Jesus, maybe you're coming today. I hope you do. You know, something like that. Let's see your hands. How many of you? Okay, there's one person there, see? Now, where would all the rest of us be if the Lord had come today? Because the word says that unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. See? Where would the rest of us be? And I'm going to ask that question tomorrow morning. So, when you go to bed tonight, look up to the Lord and say, Lord, maybe you're coming tonight. Maybe you're coming tonight. Let's all say Maranatha together. Maranatha. Again. You know, Chuck has you all clapping your hands now. And maybe this will be my little thing. I'll have you all saying Maranatha. And, you know, between the clapping of the hands and the saying of Maranatha, well, this would be kind of an input, wouldn't it, for people here. Praise the Lord. And I believe that we should be expectant in our hearts because I see nothing that has to precede the coming of the Lord. That is from our viewpoint. God may have some things, but from our viewpoint, we are to look for his imminent return. And unless we are looking for his return, we will not be ready. Praise the Lord. All right, now, Glenn asked me if I would just share a little bit. I like these word studies that Chuck has. How many of you enjoyed that today, these word studies? I'd like to give you a little word study tonight. And Chuck, you're perfectly free to take this one and use it yourself anytime you want to. But in the Hebrew, there's the word ahav. Ahav. This is a silent letter here. That's A-H-A-V. Ahav. It's one of the roots. And thank you. I really appreciate these. And in the Hebrew, it means to like or to love. Now, in English, you know, I had a very good English teacher when I was in the eighth grade. And I believe God put her there. I don't think that good English hurts you, you know. And sometimes bad English can maybe, make you less acceptable with some people. But I learned so much from this teacher. She was one of these old-fashioned types that just drilled you. And we learned that you like inanimate things, you know, like ice cream or a house or a picture, you know, inanimate things. But you love animate things, like people. Or you can love your pet, you see, your dog, your cat. Personally, I don't care much about cats, but dogs I like. Okay. Now, in Hebrew, you don't have that. There's just one word. And the word is ahav. And you can use it either way. You can love a dish of ice cream, or you can love a person. It's used just indiscriminately. The division between love and like is not found in the Hebrew. All right, now, out of this root comes the Hebrew word ohev. And an ohev is a friend. A friend. Now, one of the things that I see God doing, I tell people that we're already in the last move. I believe this. I don't think we're going to have another outpouring of the Spirit like we've had the three in the past century, but we are in the next move right now. God's getting things into position for his mighty work that he's going to do in the earth. All right, so in this, there is a fellowship. I tell people that there is, at the present time, a church within the church. A church within the church, and you see it wherever you go. You can go to a structured Pentecostal church of some kind and say there's 200 people there. You'll find 5 or 10 people that have something that others don't have. Not that the others couldn't have it, but God is responding to our responses. And so these are the people that are hungry for God. They're at every service, not because they have to be, but because they're hungry for God. And sometimes they complain that there aren't enough prayer meetings. And if you had a prayer meeting every evening and every morning, they would be there if they possibly could. They love God. They're sold out to God. This word committal is much used in these days. And these are people that are wholly committed unto the Lord. Maybe they're lacking in a lot of understanding, but nevertheless, they are being apprehended of the Lord for this end time thing. Now, sometimes I tell stories. And when I tell these stories, I want to assure you that I have all reverence in my heart for God. I highly reverence the Lord. The Word of God tells us to sanctify Him in our heart. And I shudder sometimes when I hear people talk about God so loosely. There was a singing group I heard about, and they were referring to our Lord as J.C., you know, like somebody in the office or something like that, J.C. And these things just make me shudder. I highly reverence God. But sometimes I tell stories, and in this, I don't mean to convey any irreverence, but I like to portray things to make things plain to people. So we'll say that here is God. Now, I'm doing this with all reverence. And it's late in the afternoon, and he's sitting by the window reading the evening paper. The Morning Star, we'll call it. Or Evening Star. I guess it's the Evening Star. Okay. So he's reading the evening paper, and once in a while he glances up, and he looks out the window.
And all of a sudden, he sees somebody coming down the street. And he says, oh, there comes my friend Abraham. There comes my friend Abraham. Now, this word for friend comes from the idea of exhaling in pleasure. A hug. You're exhaling in pleasure. There's a big banana split with all the goop on it. Ah. You know, you begin to drool. You get the idea? That's what this root is. And the word for friend in the Hebrew comes from that same idea. It's a breathing out after a person. You see him coming, and you breathe out after him. Oh, here's my friend, you know. And so, here's God. And he sees Abraham coming down the street. And so he looks around to make sure the front room's all tidy. And he goes to the mirror and he kind of straightens his collar a little bit. And he's wondering if Abraham is going to come to the front gate and come up the walk. And sure enough, Abraham does. And so Abraham comes up the walk, and there's a nice, neat picket fence around the house and walk here. And Abraham comes up at the walk, and he knocks at the door. And God, you know, pauses for just a second. You know, you don't want to be too anxious, even with friends. But just at the proper time, he opens the door, and he says, oh, my friend Abraham. So three times in the Word of God, Abraham is called the friend of the Lord, the friend of God. Three times. Oh, Abraham, I'm so glad to see you. Now, sometimes we have people, you know, that open up our front gates, come up our walks, and when we see them, we go, you know what I mean? Yeah. But when God saw Abraham, he says, oh, Abraham. Abraham, I'm so glad to see you. It's been such a long time since you've been here. Been such a long time. Let's see. It was 9 o'clock this morning, but it seems like an age. God knows all about ages, you know. It's been such a long time since you. Do come in. Do come in. No, don't sit in that chair. It's got some bumps in it. Take this one over here. This is a real good chair. And let's sit down, and we'll just have a good chat. And then he calls for Gabriel or somebody out and says, now, bring us in some nice hot tea and some of those Swiss cookies that we just got, you know. Nothing is too good for my friend Abraham here. See? Abraham was a friend of God. And so they talk. And God says to Abraham, tell me now. Tell me all about Isaac. How's Isaac doing? Nobody talks about Ishmael, you know. Friends are that way. They don't touch and source them. So they don't say anything about Ishmael. But how's Isaac? Well, that little type, the last time I saw him, he was just about ready to walk. And can he walk now? And you do must bring him over. And we'll have such a visit with him. And bring Sarah, you know. And so they have such a wonderful visit. God with his friend, Abraham. And so after a while, Abraham says, well, God, he says, I've got to go now. He goes to the top of the mini mart and take some whipped cream home for the coffee. And so I must go, because even friends, you know, don't overstay their time. And so Abraham gets up, and he goes to the door, and God says, let me open the door for you. Now, Abraham, my friend, don't make it so long next time. Be sure and come and see me again, see? And this is the idea in back of a friend. A friend. We're the friends of God. So there are different relationships. Now, if you have a brother in the natural, he can be a friend and he may not be a friend. Sometimes your flesh and blood brother can be your enemy. But your friends, if they're real friends, they're just friends. That's it. Because they want to be. They want you for a friend and you want them for a friend. And so, God is bringing forth a wonderful fellowship of friends. Praise the Lord. A wonderful fellowship of friends. And I'll tell you what I want us to do tonight. Is that all right, Glenn? I'll tell you what I want us to do tonight. I want us all to kind of get up and mix around a little bit and breathe out after one another. Huh? Kevin, come here. Oh, Kevin, come, you know. My friend. I don't know if you're breathing after me or not. But that's the idea in back of a friend, see? Sister, you're my friend. Oh, I'm so glad to see you, you know. We had a nice little chat back there earlier in the day. And so on. And God is creating a fellowship of friends. And these people breathe one after another. I like to watch this. I've seen Irma, you know, and somebody would come in the door that she hadn't seen for a long, long time, and she'd go like that. Oh, I'm so glad to see you, you know. That's a friend. That's a friend. And, you know, this is what God is creating. He's not creating just this stiff fellowship, you know. God bless you, brother, you know. And while you're putting hands, you're looking somewhere else. I see so much of this in churches. But God is bringing people together, and they're transparent with one another, and they share their lives with one another, and they cry over on one another's shoulders, and they laugh together sometimes. See, because friends just share everything, don't they? They just share everything. Aren't you glad that God is your friend? Praise the Lord. You think about this little story. You know, I brought it down into very earthy terms. But God isn't mad at his people. God loves them. And I think many times he's sitting in that rocking chair in the front window just waiting for us to come and sit down and have a chat with him and visit with him and talk about all the little things at home, you know, that are so dear to our hearts sometimes. God is our friend. And then you see, we in turn, we become friends one to another. Praise the Lord.
Brother Bunch, the Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother Glenn. It's a real joy to be with you here and to look forward to the mighty things that God has promised and to enjoy and feed upon the nuggets of God's Word. Now, there are so many things to say. When you realize the last day ministry, when you realize the reality of deliverance, it becomes a bubbling thing, an outgoing thing. Our brother spoke first of all about the Syrophoenician woman and the fact that it was the children's bread. In contrast to this, you'll find him where the woman was bowed over. And he sought her out. And she had a spirit of infirmity. Not a bad cold. Not rheumatism. But she had a spirit of infirmity. And he said, ought not this woman being a child of God be set free? Now here, in the other case, he refused her and called her a dog. And in this case, he seeks her and says, because she is of the household of God, and then with this spirit of infirmity, lo, these 18 years, ought not she be set free? You see, God says in Timothy, in every great house, there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor, vessels of gold and vessels of earth and wood. And it goes on to say, if a man will purge himself of these, then will he be meet for the master's use. If he will purge himself of these, deliverance belongs to the children of God. You see, a lot of people do not understand. But Corinthians says there is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. Now, God dwells in the spiritual body. Oh, you say, but know you not that your bodies are the temple of God? Yes, which body are you talking about? For God's word says, in me, that is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. If God dwells in the fleshly man, the fleshly temple or body, then God's word calls him a no good thing. But he says, there is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. He says the flesh warreth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. That means if Christ dwells in the fleshly man, he's at war with the spirit, and the spirit is at war with him. You see, God's answer for your fleshly man is to crucify him. Not to whitewash him, not to teach him how long his sleeves are supposed to be, or how long his hair is supposed to be, and how to say glory, 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 but to take it to death at Calvary and to be crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ, Paul said. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not me. It's Christ dwelling in me. You see, our bodies are just like the tabernacle. the outer court, flesh and man. The holy place, my soul. He says, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. And then the holy of holies, wherein dwells the living God in the Shekinah glory. And you have Satan working from the fleshly man, trying to possess that soul. And you have God working from the throne room of the Spirit to possess that soul and to restore it into that cleansing, into that purity, into that relationship with God. And you say, these two are contrary, the one to the other. Now I say that the Spirit belongs to God because Ecclesiastes says, the Spirit, when a man dies, the Spirit returns to God from whence it came. Now we have many that teach that the Spirit is a polluted thing and we gotta train. The Spirit is God's housing. For if it is a polluting thing, then why does God's word say it returns to God from whence it came? When a man dies in sins without being born again, his flesh goes to dust. From dust it came, to dust it'll return. His spirit returns to God from whence it came. And the soul, the spiritual part of man, the spiritual body, will spend eternity in the pit of hell. And so he says, he restoreth our soul. God is moving upon a people in this day to separate them, that they might be called the overcomer. What is it that he overcomes? You mean the outward appearance so that you say, my, he looked like a preacher? Well, not hardly. And if I'm going to take this fleshly body to heaven, I'm already disappointed. But God has prepared a spiritual body. It's the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 says, as the body has many members, and yet is one body, so also is Christ. He is a many-membered body. That's that spiritual body that God has for us. You see, we have our fleshly body to live in the material world. But God has prepared a spiritual body for us to dwell in that spiritual realm in which we will spend eternity. And thank God that God is speaking to people today. He's calling the people out of a people. The story is told in Matthew, the 14th chapter, of Jesus feeding the multitude. I don't know how I'm going to get this all in. Feeding the multitude. And then he comes down and he sends them away as he goes up in the mountain to pray. And then in the fourth watch at night, as the sea is boisterous and it's upheaving in every way, he comes to them in the fourth watch. That's between the hours of 4 and 6 o'clock in the morning, the last hours of darkness. And in these last hours of darkness, which are left, he comes in and calls to them, and 11 of them were afraid that it was the Spirit. And you don't have to go very far before you find those that say, oh, brother, no, don't talk like that. Oh, brother, well, don't stir up more than we can handle. I see somebody else has been in that same place, huh? But we're living in a day when God's calling the people out of the people. You see, he was with them. He was with us on this earth and fed us with the loaves and the fishes. And then he launched the church out on the sea of humanity. The sea often speaks of people. He launches the ship out, the church, as he went in the clouds of glory in the mountain to intercede in intercessory prayer. And now in the fourth watch at night, he is going to come back and call a people out of a people. And there will be many that are afraid. But there will be those that will say, Lord, if it's you, didn't come. And when he stepped out of this boat, he tasted of the supernatural ministry of the Lord. He tasted of the supernatural, the work that I do shall ye do also. And here Peter is a type of this last day ministry that will step into that supernatural realm. Be changed. And he will walk on the water. For years I've preached, he got his eyes off the Lord and he sunk beneath the water. That is the message. Oh, good preaching. But the truth of it is, there's a type of the two witnesses that at the end of their ministry, they are killed, death, burial, and resurrection. And then in the Gospel of John, the woman that is being protected, the other 11 in the boat, they're a lot like Noah. What did Noah do? Well, he had a hiding place, and he preached a message that had never been preached before. He said it's going to rain, and he stored some food, and then when God's time was come, God took everybody in the ark, closed it up, and protected it as judgment fell on the last days, and God found the other people, and God said, as in the days of Noah, so shall the end time be. There were 11 in the boat, and they were protected. Then Peter, and in the meantime, Peter and Jesus, and Peter, the preacher on the day of Pentecost, the spirit-filled ones that are ready to go on through the third veil, comes back to the boat. You can go along with the birth of the man-child. And the woman flees into the wilderness to a place prepared for her, while the man-child sits upon the throne and rules the nations with a rod of iron. And when they come back to the boat, the Gospel of John says, immediately they're on the other side. Now the woman is taken over into that supernatural realm too. Immediately she's changed and taken over to the other side. God's taking a people out of a people. Now, God's preparing a people. And sometimes, it's not easy what he does. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. All that live godly will suffer persecution. God likens it unto a vessel that he is making. He's the potter. And if you have stayed tender before the Lord, and shake off the traditions, shake off the tradition of churchianity, and begin to get the guidance from the Word of God, you see, the Jews missed the Messiah because of tradition, and they had scripture to prove it. And they used scripture to deny him. And in this last day, as God begins to separate, and as God begins to anoint, there will be those that will use scripture to say, it can't be. And it's not so. But God's going to have a people out of the people. God's going to have a people out of the boat. And I want to be a part of it. And my soul is crying out, oh, living God of Calvary, move in me. You know, since he is the great I am, you know, that means he wasn't I used to be, or I shall be. He's the I am. And with God, it's the presence right now of God. Right now is with God, because with God in the spiritual realm, there's no time element. It's in the material realm. And I've prayed, Lord, if you see in the plan that I'm not fitting into the perfect center of your will, if you saw that before the foundation of the world, since it is still the beginning for you, then change things right now. Overhaul me. Amen? Because whatever I don't want to miss, I want to hear your voice as you bid me come. I want to step out of the church. You can stay in the boat, you see. You can stay in the multitude, for there is a multitude. Or you can be a part of the 70. Or you can be a part of the 12. Or you can be a part of the 3 that went to the Mount of Transfiguration with him. Or the 3 that went on into the garden with him. or even be a part of the one. The one that got out of the boat and dared believe God. If God is a supernatural God, then let him be supernatural. If he inhabits the praises of his people, then what greater way in all the world to have a church service than to enter in with all of our hearts and abandonly praise God? I don't find anywhere where he's going to spew the fanatic. Amen. So it stands to reason, honey, that if we're going to be safe on this thing, let's be all out for God. Let's press on in. And instead of saying, well, glory, glory, glory. You know what that is? We always raise the mask and the flag. Half mask when something's dead. Sometimes we don't realize it, but our slip's on. We praise the Lord. Listen. Enter in and press into the high priest. You see, there is a place of double portion in this last day. When the priest went into the Holy of Holies, he took a double portion of incense. And in this is the praise and the prayers of the saints of God. And in this last day, God will have a people. And this is what is happening to the church today. We're entering in. We're dancing in the Spirit again. We're singing in the Spirit again. We're laughing in the Spirit again. All of the different biblical ways that God has dictated are his way of praising him, of his way. Enter into my court with praise and into my presence with thanksgiving. And then, just another nugget or a thought. You think Jesus is going to come again in some rain cloud somewhere? No, hardly. But he's going to come in that cloud of praise of the saints. He's going to enter back again without sin into salvation unto those that are looking. And honey, if you're looking, your hands are going to be up and you're going to be praising the Lord. He's going to come not in a rain cloud. And God in this last day is moving on the hearts of those that will listen to enter into a new dimension of praise. He's calling a people out of a people. He's separating. Oh, the man-child is still in the belly, in the midst of the woman, which is the church. But when the time comes, a man-child will be born, and he will be brought up under the throne of God and rule the nations with a rod of iron. And I cry, my soul cries, Lord, allow me to be a part of that man. Can you say amen to me? All righty, I've cheated on the time, Brother Glenn. But may we bow our head just for a moment. Just for a moment of silence. And I want you to make that committal to God. You're coming soon, Lord. And I want to be ready. It's the fourth watch at night. And I don't want to miss, Lord. I don't want to miss, Lord. I want to be ready. I want to be ready.
If anything else was said, I just feel the wisdom of the Lord in concluding these messages, and I rather bunt it right on the head. We're part of that rod of iron. We're part of the man. I looked that rod of iron up, and it is a, in the root meaning, it means divine authority and jurisdiction. It does not just mean that he's going to get another rod. It means that the rod is his people. We are going to be given a tremendous authority to rule and reign with him, and it's our backbone. It is a iron, hollow iron rod, if you please, that the anointing flows through. It's a backbone that's given to his people to stand for that which he has written, for that which he has ordained. And God's given each one of us that backbone to proclaim this message and this authority. And I believe if we stand tonight, let's all pray for the government of the Lord. Let's pray for our own government. Let's pray for the governments of this world. If they're under subjection into the higher power and the anointing of it, hallelujah, will come to pass. That we're part of that great coming and the ruling of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's just close this meeting with a great desire to pray for others who are under command. They're under responsibility. The pressures of the pack, of the assault to agreement on us. Congress is tremendous. Issues that I never dreamed before. We saw a little bit of it today. It affects us. And I want to loose our government. I want to loose our men. They're having 6 prayer meetings in the Congress a week. Let's ask God to anoint every one of those prayer meetings. Let's ask God to draw the senators and the House of Representatives to those prayer meetings. Bring conviction to the men that sort of diminish and make light of them. Let's ask God to bring them in there and get them right with God. Hallelujah. The anointing breaks the yoke. Shall we stand? Hallelujah. Reach your hand out toward us and we'll reach our hands out toward you. Father, we strengthen the body of Christ as a rod of iron is the backbone of thy command. And the Ancient of Days and the glory of God to the captain of the host of the Lord. Raise up thy people, hallelujah, as a part of that man-child of victory and authority. We loose our government under the government of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We loose and we pray for our magistrates and those that are over us. Lord, we pray that you'll send your word. Glory to God. We bind the strong man. We command the prince to be bound in Jesus' name. The princes of the nations are bound. We come against you, angelic princes. We bind you and we take your force and your source of power. We come against all the devilish thinking and all types of media, transference of demonic power. We rebuke in Jesus' name. We bring the media into subjection to the truth. The truth will set the people free. In the name of Jesus, we pray for the government leaders in all of our nation and throughout the nations of the world. Until the kingdoms of our God, hallelujah, shall rule and reign. We thank you, hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the government of the Lord is with us. He will rule and reign in righteousness. We praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We bless his name. We bless his name. And the Lord we praise the Lord. We praise the Lord. The shepherd is coming. The Lord is coming. Go ye out to meet him. The bridegroom cometh. Be blessed by him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He'll trampling out his vengeance with the grapes of wrath of swords. He will loose the mighty lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is mine. Accepted him, praise God, and his fruit shall abound. The scripture in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter in verse 4, just recently the Lord revealed to me the potency of that verse. But now the God of all comfort will comfort you, and as you've been comforted, you're to comfort others. 2 Corinthians 1, 4, which means that any way the Lord blesses you, you're to transfer that to somebody else. Some people say, well, what gifts do I got? Well, if you've ever been healed, then you have the potent power of God within you through his name to set others free. Someone prophesies over you, then you have that virtue to release prophecy to somebody else. I call it ricochet anointing. Ding, ding. So don't be around wondering what kind of gifts you got. However the Lord's touched you, when you've been comforted, you're to comfort somebody else. Let's take that and run with it. God bless you. You are dismissed. See you at 8:30 or 7 in the morning.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.